Awesome. I'm glad you're here today, because if you weren't here, I'd be preaching to myself. And I'm not a very good congregation person. I don't listen sometimes. I fall asleep. I look at the clock because I'm hungry. But I'm glad you guys are here today, so we're going to have a great time this morning. And it's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. What a great time it is. I can't believe it's here already. I mean, are you guys shocked that it's coming by so fast? I've decided that this year, I'm just going to leave the tree up and the lights up, because there's no bother taking it down. And in 2 weeks, it's going to be Christmas again. It's the way it feels like. You know, I'm just going to decorate the tree throughout the year, summer, spring, fall. You know, come October, I'll put Halloween stuff on there. You know, Thanksgiving, we'll put turkeys on the tree. And then Christmas, it'll be there and it'll be ready, right? Anybody with me? We'll just keep the tree up all year long. We want that joy of Christmas, right? We're looking for that joy of Christmas. We have that joy of the music that comes around through the Christmas time. But we just heard some wonderful songs. We have that joy of movies that come out and the lights of Christmas. Anybody go downtown and see the lights of the hills? Anybody? Yeah, some? Awesome. I've never been there. But can you believe I've lived here forever and I have never even seen those lights? But just like everything else, this Christmas time, as soon as it comes, you know, it ends. You know, and things change. And we realize that this Christmas time is really only temporary. And so as quickly as it comes, it ends. And soon it's over and we have to clean up with things away. And we have to deal with life's issues that kind of faded away when Christmas time come. Well, now reality hits. And here it is again. And we have to deal with maybe losing a little weight from eating too much. Anybody eat too much during the holidays? I know I do. I love food. Man, starting in October or January, I start eating towards Christmas. I just got to build myself up, right? But reality hits. That's the truth. Reality hits. Things change. And Christmas, bits of Christmas start to dim. And that joy starts to fade away. But it doesn't have to be that way for Christmas, for you guys. Just like the glorious lights that shone in the darkness, announcing Jesus' birth at this time of year, God's promises around this time is fulfilled. It can bring you this unbelievable joy into your life. Amen? Amen. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this day that you have given us, Lord, and thank you so much for those here. Lord, I pray that this is your message, that if there's anything of me in here, Father, that you take it away and just preach your word. And for those who are here, Father, let them be receptive to whatever it is that you're saying. Lord, that we can, that as you knock on the door of their hearts, Lord, that we listen. Lord, we just give you glory, honor, and praise this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So in our text this morning, we're going to talk about unbelievable joy. That's your outline. So it's Jesus. So there's the end of the sermon right there. That unbelievable joy that's on your outline. It's Jesus, in case you didn't know. So sometimes we let the world's problems get in the way, and sometimes we let our problems dim the lights of this unbelievable joy that's Jesus. So if you get out your outlines and open up your Bibles, or get your smartphones out and turn on your Bible apps, or look on the screen, let's read about what the Bible has to say about this unbelievable joy. We're going to start in Matthew 2, and we're going to end up in Isaiah chapter. So let's start in Matthew 2, verse 1 and 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one to be born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." The Magi were looking for the promises found in Isaiah. The Magi were focused on the word of God. They were looking for this sign, and lo and behold, this sign comes, and it reveals the way. We get caught up in all the things in life. We get caught up in our own issues, and sometimes external issues come our way, and it depletes the sign of Jesus for us. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus is always working. He's always doing something. Just don't let what's happening in the world and what's happening to you take your focus off the sign that is Jesus. Matthew 2:10 says it like this: "When they saw the star, they were overjoyed beyond measure." The star was a reflection of the joy that Jesus brings. And the Magi knew it. And so they followed that light to that unbelievable joy. The shepherds, they were given a great light. They saw a great light. The wise men followed a great light. And where did they end up? They ended up at the feet of Jesus. So in the midst of darkness, Jesus shed his great light of joy, showing us the way. See, right now in the world, we need that kind of joy. Amen? It just seems like the world is just so dark right now. There's suicide and genocide, and it's happening in our homes and in our churches and in our schools. And it just seems like there's really no safe place to be. We are becoming divided socially and politically. Hope is fleeting, joy is fading, and we are becoming depressed and anxiety-stricken and fearful. The song says, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And oh, I love that, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. If we had that Jesus, we could have that peace. But sadly, there is no peace in the world today. Yet, it's not just today that it's like this. Back in Isaiah's time, there was a darkness in his kingdom. Let me feel a little bit of that as you turn to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah is a major prophet sent by God to an extremely dark time in Judea. There was this great division between Israel and Judea. And the first half of Isaiah chapters 1 through 38 is this scathing pronouncement from God telling Israel and Judea to repent from their sins and return back to God. But it doesn't stay all doom and gloom in the book of Isaiah. Right from the beginning, God shines this light, revealing to us this unbelievable joy that is Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. So in the second half of Isaiah, it changes. 44 through 66, they are filled with hope. And Isaiah is unfolding the future blessings of God's promises through Jesus Christ. This is the same hope that we have today. So Isaiah had the burden of proclaiming God's truth while nation Judah eroded under the leadership of King Ahaz. King Ahaz was a godless king, 20-something years old, that was facing this national crisis in Judah. Aram and Israel were banding together, and they were coming against Judah. They wanted to take King Ahaz off the throne. They wanted to put their own king in so they can rule and control Judah. So there's this darkness in Judah at this time. Isaiah 2, if you follow along, says this, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of the people trembled like the trees of a forest shaking in the wind. That's troubling. Kind of like the world today, don't you think? It's the dark time for Judah. Judah was being threatened in a couple of ways. One way was internally. They were morally and spiritually corrupted. They were rotting. But they were God's people, just like us. We've become genderless and godless, tolerant society, going whichever way we want to go. But however feels best is the way we go. Judah was suffering externally, too. The impending attack from Aram-Israel alliance was creating widespread panic in Judea. Much like us, we're facing this political division, this government that's overstepping its boundaries. We have a financial crisis and mental problems and physical suffering and even spiritual, where we cry out, why God? Why God? And all of a sudden we question and we doubt and we start to panic. Much like Judea, we too are becoming compromised and complacent in our faith. And God's word constantly reminds us that there will always be something vying for our attention. The old adage is whatever has your attention will have you. Whatever was having Ahaz's attention was having him. He was godless. Whatever was having Judah's attention, it had them. See, as Christ followers, we must choose whom it is that we will serve this day. Not part days, not some days, but this day. So if you woke up today and you're here and you're breathing, take a deep breath with me. 1, 2, 3. That sounds like you're alive to me. So you've been given a great blessing. So you must choose this day whom you will serve. Same true with Judah and for the king. Isaiah 7, 9 through 12 tells us about that. This is the Lord speaking. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you do not stand firm in your faith, then you will not stand at all. Then the Lord spoke again to Ahaz. Ask for a sign from the Lord your God, from the depths of Sheol to the heights of heaven. But Ahaz replied, I will not ask. I will not test the Lord. there's this dark in Ahaz. In 7:9, let's dig a little deeper. It says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you do not stand at all. I would underline that. I would highlight that. That's an important scripture. In the midst of darkness, God is bidding us to choose whom we will serve. If you will not stand, you will fall. That sounds like you must choose whom you will serve this day. We all have a darkness. See, I have a darkness. And every day I have to choose whom I am going to serve, that darkness or my God. See, my darkness is depression and anxiety. I'm chronically depressed. That's 24/7. You don't understand what that means. I'm depressed when I wake up, throughout the day, and when I go to sleep. I don't get a break. I'm constantly dealing with regret. When I look in the mirror, I don't like what I see. And I have to choose that day, that minute, whom I will serve, my depression or my God. And some of you might be feeling that same way. Might not be depression. It might be something else. When I was 13, I tried to end my life. I thought that would be the way out. But it didn't work. And then I had to deal with other stuff like abuses, sexual, physical, mental. I had all sorts of stuff going on. And today at 52 years old, I must choose whom it is that I will serve this day. And this is what God is bidding us. But I am constantly falling at the feet of Jesus. And in God's word is where I need to find him, and I meet him is in his word. See, the voices subside when I fall on the feet of Jesus and I'm in his word. Whatever has your attention has you. See, the reason why I'm standing here is because God has my attention. Does God have yours? See, but I must choose whom I will serve, and you must choose whom you are going to serve. If we don't stand for something, we are going to fall. See, I need Jesus. I need to hear his voice and his word. Here is this unbelievable joy that is Jesus, and this unbreakable foundation that is God's word. It's what divides our faith. It drives our faith and binds us together in dark times. God's word is a plumb line. See, the flow of culture is going that way. And God's word is a plumb line. It's what tells you what's straight. And God's word goes right up against you and says, you know what? You're leaning with the flow of culture. God's word is a measuring line. It says, here's the guardrail. Dan, you're 5 feet on the other side. Dan, you're 100 feet on the other side. Dan, you're on the edge of the cliff. God's word is a mirror. It's reflecting our true hearts, revealing our sin and our desperate need for a Savior. God's foundational truth tells us that Jesus is standing at the door knocking. In the middle of your sin, in the middle of your compromise, in the middle of your complacency, God is standing there at your door knocking. And in the light, he is showing you the way to him. Isaiah 7:10, a little bit deeper, says, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz. I would circle again. Ask for a sign. I would circle ask for sure. From the Lord your God, from the depth, I would underline depth. Of Sheol to the heights, underline that. To heaven. He is telling him, ask. See, Jesus is knocking on the door of Ahaz's heart, and he's bidding him to come and die. He is a godless king's own way, doing his own thing, totally devoid of God. And here is Jesus knocking at his heart, saying, I am the way. And Jesus bids us to die to ourselves, so to our desires, to our preconceived ideas, to our failed expectations, to our past experiences. How did Ahaz respond to Jesus' knock? How do we respond to Jesus knocking on our hearts? Isaiah 7:12 tells us the king responded this way. I will not ask. I will not test the Lord. Sounds plausible. This actually sounds a bit pious, don't you think? The Bible says don't test God. It's a pious statement from the king. But let's go back to verse 10 and let's see what the Lord says. The Lord spoke again to Ahaz. Ask for a sign from the Lord your God, from the depths of Sheol to the heights of heaven. God tells us to ask. That's a great expanse. Ask for anything, Ahaz, anything. God was about to do something amazing. All Ahaz had to do was ask. That's the darkness that's in Ahaz, and sometimes in us as well. Matthew 7:8, this is not in your outline, says it like this: ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. For everyone who asks, receive, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks, it shall be open. This is what God was saying to Ahaz and what he's asking and telling us. There is this victory in Ahaz's future. There is this victory in our future, and all we have to do is ask for it. God's victory is assured. It is for it's permanent, and regardless of our choice, God's victory will stand. Amen? We think it's over, but it's never over for God. He turns this all around for glory, to further his kingdom, to pronounce this joy not only in Judah's future, but for ours as well. God is faithful. So somewhere on your outline, get out your pencils and write, God is faithful. He has a plan in spite of what we think. See, Jesus sends this beacon of light into the midst of darkness. Isaiah 7:4 goes on to talk about it. It says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and have a son and name him Emmanuel. Now, let me kind of elaborate. This is my own rendition of what I think Ahaz would be thinking about this time. A virgin shall conceive. This is what I would think Ahaz would be like. What? Wait a second. A virgin's going to conceive. You're going to name him Emmanuel. How is that going to help me? What is that going to do for me? How is that going to help the kingdom? What is that going to do for my people? Israel's way with Aram. They're going to attack. What? That is not what I expected. But see, this is not some army defeating sign. This is not some Red Sea parting sign. Those were amazing signs. This sign's a little different. See, this sign is sin forgiving. This sign is death destroying. This sign is life giving for eternity. This sign is Jesus. And we need Jesus, don't we? The light that is breaking through the darkness in this time of Judah and in King Ahaz's life is Jesus. Emmanuel, God is with us. Isaiah's very name is a direction of God. His name means God is salvation. God is the light of salvation in the middle of our darkness. And that should bring us an unbelievable amount of joy. Amen? I can hardly ever hear you. Amen? But alas, right? The darkness is still in the king and in the people. Isaiah 8:19-22 says it like this. When they say to you, this is the Lord speaking to Isaiah. When they say to you, consult the spirits of the dead and the spiritists who chirp and mutter. Shouldn't a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? Verse 22 says, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, there will be no dawn for them. And we're talking about unbelievable joy this morning, aren't we? So when does the Bible say that joy comes? Anybody? Anybody know? In the morning. Joy comes in the morning. But in verse 20, it says, if they do not speak according to this word, to God's word, there will be no dawn. There will be no joy for them. Sound familiar? Does it sound like today? Verse 22 says, they will wander through the land, dejected, hungry. When they are famished, they will become enraged. And looking upward, they will curse their king and curse their God. And they will look toward the earth and see only distress, darkness, gloom of affliction. And they will be driven into a thick darkness. Does this not sound like our world today? They will be driven into a thick darkness. When our focus is off of God, folks, that's all we will see is doom and gloom and darkness. We get too caught up in our lives. Each of us have our own darkness. You've heard mine. We have past experiences, present situations, and future hopes and dreams. We have addictions to drug, alcohol, pornography, overeating, overstressing, and overworrying. We have abuses, physical, mental, sexual. We have abandonment, character assassination, and a boatload of regret. Depression, anxiety, and fears of all kind are ruling our lives. Our body frames were never meant to carry this kind of weight. But cast your burdens onto the Lord, and He will make them able, you will be able to sustain that through them. We live in the USA that was founded on God's word, and we followed its precepts. But now we've abandoned that. And as children of God, we are facing all sorts of persecution because of it. So fearful we have become about what's going on around us that we have allowed ourselves to become compromised by the world's influences. And because of it, we've become complacent to God's call upon our lives. In other words, folks, we are blind, deaf, hard-hearted, and closed-minded. And much like Judah, we push away God. But we must take heart, for this is the way of the world. This world and all of its pursuits will not stand when Christ returns. Amen? See, that brings me an unbelievable amount of joy. This is not my home. This is not my ending. This is the light that Isaiah saw that we need to fix our eyes on. The light of Jesus. The light that shatters all darkness, destroying it forever, will bring us such an unbelievable joy. Nehemiah 8 says it like this. This is not in your outline either. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Some people say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Other people will say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I choose to say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's of Him. We need to focus on that fact, that it's the Lord's joy that we get our strength from. Sometimes I think that we actually think that that God is not full of joy, but just full of wrath. God is not some angry God in heaven just sending His wrath upon sinners. God is not wringing His hands back and forth in total disbelief of the way humanity is going. God is not sleeping in some lazy boy chair, totally not caring about what's happening to us. God is on His throne. God is victorious because God won. Amen? Amen. Wow. That alone should bring us this unbelievable amount of joy. God is in total and complete control, fulfilling His plan, His purpose, His will, according to His timing. Even Satan and his demons shudder and bow in God's presence because of His control. That brings me joy. That should bring you joy. God is rejoicing when a child returns, when a sinner repents, and when His children unite in prayer and obedience to Him. God is sustaining us by His power and authority. He gives us His Spirit so we will have this total connection to Him. God is supplying us comfort, strength, wisdom, and discernment throughout our lives so we can be totally secure in the fact that God has us. God has you. God has you in your past experiences, in your present circumstances, in your future hopes and dreams, in your addictions, your abuses, your abandonment. God has you. In your grief and unforeseen moments, your sickness and your disappointments and doubts, God has you. When you're confused, frustrated, fearful, and failing, God has you. When you're depressed and full of anxiety, God has you. When you are at your wit's end and you can't take another step, God has you. It's Christmas. Christ is born, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Resurrector, our Life Giver, to bring you salvation and a new start. Amen? Amen. God has sent His one and only Son, Jesus, that unbelievable joy that shines a great light over all of our lives. Jesus will shatter all of your darknesses. Jesus will never leave you, forsake you, hurt, or harm you in any way. Jesus is in pursuit of you, prospering you, growing you, sustaining you by transforming you into His image, because Jesus wants you to be with Him for all eternity. You are Jesus' greatest joy. It does not matter what you've been through, what you are going through, or what you've done. Jesus paid that price just for you. You are God's greatest masterpiece, His great joy. And right there should give us this unbelievable amount of joy. He gives you the strength you need to get up, let go, and follow Him. Jesus is always breaking through the darkness. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And here comes Jesus shattering His darkness. But what I have come to give you life. And I haven't come to give you just an ordinary life. I've come to give you an abundant life. Jesus is always one-upping Satan. It's like, bam, there you are, Satan. You can come and steal, kill, and destroy all you want to. My Savior, my Redeemer, has given me an abundant life in the midst of depression, in the midst of anxiety, in the midst of suicide attempts, in the midst of anything that you can possibly go through. Jesus has given me an abundant life. That is the joy of Jesus. Isaiah 9, 6, 7 nails the joy of Jesus. For a child will be born for us, I would circle that. And a son will be given to us, and I would circle that. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be named, and I would underline all of this, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. His dominion will be vast, and his prosperity will never end. I will circle that. He will reign. I would circle that, underline it, highlight it, and put an asterisk and a couple exclamations on that one. Jesus reigns on his throne of David over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. God is sovereign. So right there, right, God is sovereign. He has sent his son to destroy the darkness of sin and death and to give you eternal life. That is the joy of Jesus. And here we are at the end of the sermon and our four lessons that we need to take home. But right on top of the box before we get to that ending, I want you to write this. Jesus is my. Right on the top of that box, Jesus is my, with an exclamation point. Jesus is my Wonderful Counselor. Let Jesus navigate you through all of life's obstacles. Jesus is my Mighty God. Just know that Jesus will go before you, walk alongside of you, and have your back. Jesus will also carry you when you need him to. Jesus is my Eternal Father. Let Jesus supply you with his unfathomable love, his incomparable compassion. Let Jesus give you his tender mercies and his amazing life-giving grace. Jesus is my Prince of Peace. Jesus is the peace that surpasses all understanding, that peace that guards your heart and mind and makes your crooked path straight. Right there tells me that God reigns. I would write that in the box somewhere, that God reigns. This is the great light that Isaiah saw in the future. It was Jesus Christ. Jesus, the light that shatters darkness. Jesus is our freedom from captivity. Jesus is the joy that supplies us great strength. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light, and nobody comes to the Father except through Jesus. Do you need Jesus today? We need Jesus today. As Jesus changed the trajectory of the last chapters of Isaiah into hope, Israel, Judah, and all the world, let Jesus be that hope for you today. Let him fill you with that unbelievable joy that can only come from Jesus. Now the rubber has to meet the road. James says it like this, you can't just be hearers of the word. You have to do what it says. So this is all of you who've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. This little part of the message is just for you. Let me remind you that we're supposed to be reflecting the light of Jesus. The joy of Jesus is supposed to be coming from us. So we can't be taken back by this world. We can't let life's circumstances get us because we have that unbelievable joy that is Jesus. How are you reflecting the light of Jesus today? What are you doing to shine the light of Jesus in this dark world today? The best way to shine that light is to serve. You can serve in our church. We need help in Awanas and nursery and children. We need help in our VBS and our outreach programs like the Block Party. You have been given this unbelievable joy that is Jesus. Don't you want to share that by reflecting the light of Jesus? This observing world is watching us, folks. Let us show them that they need the joy of Jesus. They need the light of Jesus. We can show them that whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you're trying to do, whatever it is that you're holding on to, go and cling to Jesus. We all need to know that this Christmas we can find that unbelievable joy just knowing that God is faithful. He is my Wonderful Counselor. That God is sovereign. He is my Mighty God and my Eternal Father. And God reigns because he is my Prince of Peace. that is the strength, the unbelievable joy that is Jesus Christ, our Savior, born this day. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for this day. I thank you so much for each and every one that's here. But most importantly, Lord, I thank you so much for your Son. Especially this day, a light has been given. Lord, and I just pray that we seek that light. Lord, I pray over each and every one here, Lord, that you come and direct them on the way to go. Lord, that you give us your peace that surpasses the understanding. Lord, that you guard our hearts and our minds and make our path straight. Father, I thank you so much again for what you are doing, will do, and are going to do in the end of time. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you guys for all being here today. It was a short message. I hope you guys are happy about that. But this invitation, we want to have an invitation. This is going to be for you guys. So if you want to know that